The best way to get your busy day underway. The WMAL Morning News, starting at 5 a.m.
Welcome back to the Rush Limbaugh Program. Roger Hitchcock in for Rush today. And we want to get to this question of the Middle East because, again, the Europeans apparently put this high on the priority list. Peace in the Middle East with between the Palestinians and Israel and so forth, and so do the Arab nations. Now, for many people in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East means killing every Jew and driving Israel out of existence. For others, it means that it is possible to coexist in the whole area of what they call Palestine between Israel and a Palestinian state, although Yasser Arafat walked away from that compromise and decided for the Intifada. In fact, we've been at this beginning before. LA Times with an article this morning talking about Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat sealing the Oslo peace accords with a famous handshake on the White House lawn back in 1993. Now, of course, that lasted for a bit, and then the Intifada came along for the apparent reason that Yasser Arafat thought that he could get more out of blowing up teenagers in pizza parlors in Israel than he could by sitting down and cutting a deal. And he finally walked away from the final deal and let the Al-Aqsa martyrs of his Al-Fatah take over, in effect, the control of that organization. So is the new leader, the new elected leader, this is a hopeful sign, obviously, the new elected leader of the Palestinians going to be able to make the ending different, even though yesterday the shaking of hands and so forth in that meeting between Sharon and Abbas looked like the same beginning? Well, to help us with that, Joel Rosenberg has got a couple of books out on this and has written on National Review Online. He has written, of course, The Last Jihad and now The Last Days. Joel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Roger. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
The New York Times seems to actually have some optimism in their editorial, reason for cheer in the Mideast, but is there really reason for cheer based on this first contact, well, I guess in what, 9 years, between the leader of Israel and the leader of the Palestinians?
I think there is some reason for optimism, and I point to Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. This is not a man who's known for being wildly optimistic about making peace with the Palestinians, but last month he said to some reporters that he believed that the Israelis and the Palestinians were on the verge of a historic breakthrough, and then, of course, he, in fact, went to this Egyptian resort town for a summit with Mahmoud Abbas, a.k.a. Abu Mazen, the new Palestinian leader. You know, and it's interesting that he went to this this peace summit with the Egyptian president and with the Jordanian king, and there was no U.S. direct participation. Typically, these summits have an American president or secretary of state putting the Israelis and the Palestinians effectively in a headlock and saying, you will eat your peas and carrots, you will like it, and you will smile. And that's not what happened. Now, why? The question is, why is Sharon optimistic? And what's interesting is to see what Abbas has done in the last 3 months since Yasser Arafat died. You know, when I wrote The Last Days as a novel, again, that was fiction, I wrote it with the idea that the first chapter would be the death of Yasser Arafat and an American president pushing for peace and democracy. The question was, if Arafat's gone, can you really make peace? Abbas not only thinks so, but what has he done? Number one, he's deployed Palestinian security forces to stop suicide bombers and these rocket attacks. He's arresting militants. He's ordering Palestinian television and radio stations to stop glorifying the Islamic radicals. And what's interesting is not just the talk, but the fact that since Arafat died and Abbas took over, there's been a 75% decrease in Palestinian violence against the Israelis. And that's what's making Sharon think, look, I don't know if this guy's the real deal, but this is certainly different than we've seen before.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, Joel, because some of the reports are contradictory out of the Middle East. Hamas and the Islamic Jihad, which are admittedly not controlled by the Palestinian Authority, are saying they will not be bound by the ceasefire that was called for by both sides yesterday in Egypt. So, you know, I'm taking this with a grain of salt. And those people he arrested, they were released right away. The Palestinian Authority television, by the way, is continuing to run sermons which you know, call for the destruction of Israel, and some of this stuff I got to say to myself, you know, what has really changed?
Well, look, those things are standard operating procedure, and I think it's appropriate to be skeptical. I think it's important not to be cynical. In other words, the difference here is maybe Abbas isn't a different leader, but he has certainly made moves that Arafat, whom I call the godfather of modern terrorism, with the godfather gone, Abbas is doing some things differently than any other Palestinian leader ever has. Therefore, the only thing you can do at this point is kind of, you know, baby step your way forward and encourage the process. You know, you don't want to be jumping up and down and doing cartwheels yet, but there is room for some optimism.
What's the next step then?
Well, you know, here's the challenge. And again, I write about this in the last days and on National Review today. But here's the critical challenge is Abbas going to stay alive? I mean, people are gunning for Abbas. 2 days after Arafat died, Palestinian radicals tried to assassinate Abbas, killing two of his bodyguards. There's a real concern now that even if Abbas is the real deal, can he make it through the week? Can he make it through the month? And I think that's one of the most important questions right now. But there's other important questions, too. The Egyptians and Jordanians, who already have formal peace treaties with Israel, are actually stepping in to assist training Palestinian security forces. Egypt has just signed a free trade agreement with Israel and the United States. Egypt and Jordan have just sent their ambassadors back to Israel after 4 years of withdrawing them out of basically hatred for Ariel Sharon. It was interesting to see the Jordanian king and the Egyptian president shaking hands and smiling with Ariel Sharon, a man who's not, like as I said, been seen as a dove. Sharon is a hawk. So there's a long road ahead. This roadmap has got a lot of mileposts on it, but the last 72 hours have been fairly dramatic on top of the Bush strategy, which is a very optimistic strategy, as you were mentioning, that the president believes that democracy and freedom and peace can come to Afghanistan, Iraq, and the West Bank and Gaza. And part of that, you know, is not just national security. Part of that is the president's faith. He believes, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, you know, President Bush is an evangelical Christian who believes that. And actually, I'm an evangelical Christian from an Orthodox Jewish background as well, and I share that sense of cautious optimism based on the idea that ultimately good will triumph over evil.
Well, I'm watching the road here, Joel, and it's a familiar road. The first concessions are being made by Israel. They're giving up 500 Palestinian prisoners, people who are terrorists, who have been detained by the Israeli armed forces and police because they are engaging in terrorism, trying to kill Jews. 400 more are supposed to be freed later. That's 900 terrorists that the Israelis are going to loose back into the ranks of Hamas and Al-Aqsa and all the rest of the terrorist groups, and they're going to pull out of Jericho. And the first of five more towns in the West Bank, the Palestinian forces will move in and, you know, again, cheek by jowl with Israeli towns.
Sure, but, that, you know, Roger, that's not the biggest concern. I agree with that. That's, you know, that's something to watch. But the real concern in the region is Iran and Russia's nuclear alliance that's emerging between Russia and Iran. And
how does that affect the Palestinians?
Well, because the Iranians have been training, funding, and encouraging Hamas, Islamic Jihad, the rebels in southern Lebanon, and of course Iran's relationship to Syria is very troublesome. And the question here is, if Iran continues to be, you know, the terrorist state in chief in the region, if they continue to stay on offense, then the relationship between the Israelis and the Palestinians, while promising, won't change our security interests in the region. Which is, now that Saddam's gone and Arafat gone, that's great. But the Iranians remain the next great threat. Now, that's I'm getting ahead to my next novel, well, Ezekiel Option, but that's the concern now.
Yeah, but Joel, I have even more concern about the Saudis, who've been pumping money into these extremists for a long time as well. Here's the question, though, and it really is this. I think, my theory is, that this all came about, that is, the setting the stage for at least some pullback of Palestinians from their extremist intifada views after Arafat's death to some wish, and the polling done among Palestinians is that 80% of the average Palestinians want peace.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's come about because of the fence. I think the fence has separated these people, have prevented a lot of the violence, has caused them to rethink, do we really want to live here as neighbors, or do we want to live here in constant war? I think both sides have thought more about this since the fence.
I agree with you totally. It's been the fence. It's been the Sharon policy of assassinating the terrorist leaders and arresting them. There's been a combination of things. But even with those two policies of the fence and the assassinations in place, violence is still down 75% since Abbas took over and Arafat went on to his 72 virgins in paradise. I say that tongue-in-cheek. So this is why, you know, President Bush and Ariel Sharon and Secretary of State Rice are showing a level of positive momentum that they've never shown before. President Bush never met with Yasser Arafat, and thank God he didn't. He sent the message he won't deal with terrorists, but now he has invited Sharon and Abbas to Washington later this spring, and I think that's going to be fascinating to see if in between now and those visits, can Abbas keep fighting the bad guys in his own ranks.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Joel Rosenberg, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. Thanks for the books. Terrific stuff.
Thank
he writes
you,
in fiction, but comes out to be stuff that actually comes true. It's worth reading the fiction because he's got a great eye for the Middle East. We'll talk a little bit about this. Your calls, too, at 1-800-282-2882 when we come back.